So the Rabban has been training us. Throughout Chumash, he trains us to look at psukim and paragraphs and stories that we sort of take for granted. Please. Rabban trains us to look with fresh eyes and ask, why is it here? Why is this in the Nevuah Shel Tzrichos Hadoros? What's the Chumash trying to tell me? What lesson am I supposed to be drawing? What ideas am I supposed to be drawing from this pasuk, from this parasha, from this episode? Throughout Chumash, he trains us to do that, to become Megillah Daf Yudal Jews, where we learn Tanakh, and specifically throughout Chumash Bereishis. And here we are at the final week of the Chumash Bereishis Machzor for Tavshin Pei Dalad. And he's been training us specifically to look at Sefer Bereishis through the lens of Maisa Avos Siman Labanim. That's not just a stray comment by the Bereishis Rabbi here and there, but that's sort of the guiding, organizing principle of Sefer Bereishis, certainly from Lech Lecha through Vayechi. And often the answer to what's it all about and why is the Torah telling me this, as he told us. Remember I told you a couple months ago when we started learning Rabban that he's going to introduce us to learning Chumash with a global perspective and that he's going to be consistent. That he introduces a Sefer, what's the Sefer about, and then he actually consistently follows through. And we saw that Sefer Bereishis, particularly from Lech Lecha on, he told us from the outset, Parakid Beis, Maisav Asim Labanim is going to be the key to understanding so many of the details that seem otherwise historically interesting, maybe, but hard to know why they're significant in Chumash. Maisav Asim Labanim is going to explain a lot. Here we are at the close of Vayechi. So a lot of Vayechi we appreciate. This does strike us, even without the Ramban training us. There's a lot of Vayechi, the Birkas Yaakov for sure, the brachas to Ephraim and Asher, and the brachas to all the children of Yaakov. That definitely strikes us as there's a lot going on. We understand there's a lot going on, and we understand, even without the Ramban necessarily telling us, that this is not just for the here and now, but these brachas are very clearly setting you up for talking about Jewish history for the decades and centuries and millennia. What's going to be down the road in the life of Yehuda? What's going to be down the road in the life of Yosef? What's going to be down the road in the life of Yisachar and Zvulun and so on and so forth? There is a sort of a curious focus, though, at the end of Bereishis. The Mamash, like the very end of Vayechi. This is the close of Sefer Bereishis. This is the close of Sefer Bereishis. It ends with what? What does Bereishis end with?
Yosef's death.
Right, Yosef's death. Exactly. You hear about Yaakov's death? Okay, that seems suitably fitting for sort of the close of this cycle of the others. A lot of focus on how Yaakov is buried, getting him back to Eretz Mitzrayim. And then the Torah focuses on Yosef. And Yosef's death, as Shai said. Yosef's death. And then the fact that Yosef isn't buried. He isn't buried in Eretz Yisrael. So you sort of wonder, it seems a little anticlimactic. This is the story of the creation of Am Yisrael. The end is, Yosef is stuck in Mitzrayim. Yosef dies, stuck in Mitzrayim. Sort of wonder, it's hard to know how significant, why is that so significant? And why is this sort of the close to Sefer Bereishis? This should be the shining conclusion. One of the Ramban's larger points is each Sefer is a whole Sefer. Mircham, next week we'll get to Sefer Shmos. We're going to see. He has a lot to say about all these aspects of Sefer Shmos that we've seen for years and never noticed. We've never seen the forest for the trees, and he's going to give us a beautiful, beautiful perspective on the Sefer Shmos that was always staring us in the face we never knew. What's going on with the Bereishis? And with the death of Yosef, and he's not buried. What's it all about? And why is it significant Bechalal? Why is it significant Bechalal? So I want to take a look at a pair of Rambans. I want to take a look at Ramban.
And in Memtas, the pair of Memtas.
the actual discussion of the Pura, and then we'll step back to the beginning of Vayechi. We'll end with the beginning, because Vayechi is one of those parashas we've seen several already, where he opens with sort of an overview. So let's first take a look on the second side of the page. Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Lamed Aleph. You're going to see a part of this Rambam. I'm not sure where he hits the part where he quotes Josephus. You may want to see that on your own. But let's at least see. Yeah, he does. But let's at least see part of this Rambam. Shama Kavuris Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu is speaking to Yosef. Yaakov Avinu is speaking about how he wants to be buried in Maris HaMachpelah. That's where Avram and Sarah are buried. That's where Yitzchak and Rivka are buried. That's where one of Yaakov's wives, Leah, is buried, which, by the way, means that Leah had passed away before they went down to Mitzrayim, apparently. We don't know. They went back earlier to bury Leah. It seems like Leah had passed away before they went down to Mitzrayim. The Tam, here, Mem Tes Lamed Aleph. The Tam Shamo Kavur is Yitzchak. What does that mean? There they buried Yitzchak. They? Is Yaakov eliminating his sense of agency? Wasn't he involved? That's what we learned in the Chumash, earlier in the Chumash. The end of, where was it? The end of Ayishlach. Yitzchak passes away, and Yaakov and Esav bury him. Why? Shalom Kavarti, he didn't say, that's where I bury Yitzchak. Why is he's an odd choice of pronoun? They instead of I. Bavur, says Rabban, hey, Yos Esav Imo, Bekfuras Aviyim. Because it was, as the Pesukim tell us, in the Yishlach, it was Yaakov and Esav together. Full year Tzatzel Eskiro. Number one, he's not interested in mentioning Esav. So he says, doesn't want to say we. Does not going to say I, that would be inaccurate. Doesn't want to say we to give too much focus to Esav. So he says, they buried. Yitzchak was buried. The Ochloid Starch Ata Laharech Lema Shama Karvarnu is Yitzchak, the Shama Kavru is Rivka Ishto. If he's going to start to be more precise, so then he's going to have to give even more detail, because we buried Yitzchak, but only he buried Rivka. Rivka passed away before Yaakov returned. Kloayahu Bekviras Imo. So he just said, generally, that's where my parents were buried. Without getting into the details. But he does see, he's not interested in talking about the details of who buried whom, but he is interested in talking about the details of who's already buried there. Why don't you say, bury me in Maris Machpelah? Why does he have to mention who's already buried there? He does mention the Mara. He does mention who's already buried there. L'godel ha-makam, to highlight the significance of the location. We already saw in Chaisara, Rabban, a couple weeks ago, Rabban had spoken about the significance of Maris HaMachpelah, B'Mechab of the others. So now that's when Avram Avinu initially bought it. Now already, it's already the burial place of Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka and Leah. Significant place. Kadeshi is Dar's, the Lukavroshan, wants to make sure they understand, they work hard to make sure to bury him there. So he's explaining that's a very significant location. He highlights that Avram had bought it. Ki Avraham beis kvaros lahem. So when he's speaking to his children, he mentions not only who's already buried there, but that Avram had bought it because it's not just it happens to be significant because the fact of the matter is there are already so many tzaddikim buried there and so much of the family, but this was a specific expectation of Avram. Avram had bought it for this express purpose. So it's not only practically speaking it's a special place, but you're being mekayem your great-grandfather's vision, Yaakov tells his children, when you bury me there, because that's what Avram bought it for this purpose. Okay? So understand that it's inherently a special place because all the tzaddikim were there. Understand that Avram, and therefore you should make sure to bury me there as well. Understand that Avram expected that I would be buried there, and therefore you should bury me there as well. Okay. But then the Rabban says, and here, Kidarko Bakodesh, he comes to a big idea through us noticing the small details in the Pesukim. So I understand the Ramban says why here, when we're listening in, the Torah allows us to eavesdrop, so to speak, on this conversation, the end of his life between Yaakov and his children. So we understand why at this point Yaakov is mentioning that Avram had bought the field. That's part of the conversation, part of ensuring that they're gonna make that they're gonna get him to that spot. But later on, when the Torah describes the event, Lamata Kisha Amar, when the Torah described that they actually did bury him in Maras HaMachpelah, Asher Kana Avraham Lachuz Azkaver. There the Torah again says, not just Maras HaMachpelah, Maras HaMachpelah, which Avraham had bought. Who needs that detail? We know, we mean the readers of Chumash, we know that Avraham bought Maras HaMachpelah. We know about from Chayisara. We know about from these Tzukim in Vayichi. So why is the Torah, when the Torah, so I understand that Rabban says, when Yaakov is giving instructions, he's highlighting how significant this is. You got to get me to Eretz Yisrael, get me to Maras HaMachpelah. It's a place of Kevar Avos. It's a place that Avram wanted me to be buried. Good. But when it actually happens, why does the Torah have to repeat? Again, they buried in Maras HaMachpelah, which Avram had bought. So we might have just sort of breezed by. Rabban says, one second, we're not breezing by anything here. Why does the Torah reinforce that? What's the point of that? There, Rabban says, you notice something small, you pull on that, you get to something very big. Small questions, as is so often the case in learning halacha, and learning machshava, and learning tanakh, and learning gemara, sometimes noticing the small questions brings you to very, very big vistas, big ideas in the answer. Lamata, once again, that number one. Lamata, kishar mavik b'ruah sob in Maras HaMachpelah, when the Torah describes they actually buried him in the Maras HaMachpelah, and once again, repeat, Asher kana Avraham lachuz azkaver. Why did the Torah describe there that the kavur actually occurred in the place Avram had bought? Nizkavena kasuv lirmoz ki biyakov nishlamo kavonas hatzadik. The Torah is trying to intimate to us that the kavura of Yaakov, this was coming full circle. Yaakov actually was buried in the place that Avram had bought, and that completes Avram's intent. Avram had bought this to be a kever for whom? For Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and wives. No one else. Ki l'shloshtam kina, v'lo yikavr ba'odish. No one else will be buried there. Al-kein lo tziva Yosef shik bruo so b'marim avosav. And that's why, when we get to hear, part of why we get to hear Yosef speaking to the next generation of Jews, the grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu, his Yosef's children and nephews, part of why the Torah includes in Bereishis the Yosef conversation, the Kuras Yosef discussion, is to see that contrast. Yosef is not talking about going to Maras HaMachpelah. Why? Because Yosef isn't intended to be in Maras HaMachpelah. Why? Because Avraham Avinu brought the Maras HaMachpelah just for whom? Avos v'Imahos. And Yosef is not Avos v'Imahos. And he goes on, why is that so significant? Who cares? What's the point? He quotes a Mechilta. Re'isi v'Mechilta Rabbi Shem Bar Yochai. This is one of the ancient Midrashei Halacha, the Midrashei Halacha on Shemos. There's more than one of them referred to as Mechilta. Reisim Mechilta, Rishim Bar Yochai, Armelam Yosef, Kishatem Malin Osi, when you bring me back to Eretz Canaan, Kivur Osi B'chol Malkam Shetirtu, bury me wherever, in Eretz Israel, but it doesn't matter where. Meaning, Mekubalani She'eni Nechas HaKivur Osavosai. I have a tradition, Yosef tells them, that I'm not going to be brought into the Maras HaMachpelah where my ancestors are buried. She'ei nichnas lekever avos ela shlosh avos v'shalosh imos. Only the avos. Gemara elsewhere makes the comment, ein korim l'avos ela shlosha. The term avos is specifically those three. We don't use the term avos for any generation after Yaakov Avinu. And he goes on to talk about as well that why we mentioned the Kavura of Leah. So the Kavura of Leah, the fact that Yaakov mentions the Kavura of Leah, that starts around a whole other discussion that we're not going to focus on now. That it was meant for, who's that third generation going to be? Avram Yitzchak, and fill in the blank. So you're familiar with some of the Midrashim that talk about Esav or Esav's family having an interest in seizing that third spot for Esav. And he talks about that. He talks about Midrashim, and he quotes on the next page, Reishayin Hey, from Josephus, Yosef Ben Gurion, the Sifrei Kadmonios. They tell the story of a grandson of Esav showing up and demanding that that spot be reserved for Esav. I was in a shul the other week with one of my children, looking at a lot of the older shuls have those, some of the newer shuls also have those Lezech HaNishmas wall panels with the lights, the names of people who passed away, and the lights. They turn the light on the day of the yard site or the month of the yard site. So one of my younger kids noticed that some of them are empty. Okay, Baruch Hashem. Some of them say reserved. So that was a little surprising. I mean, someone already bought that spot, but Baruch Hashem, the person for whom it was bought is still alive. So it just says reserved. It's a little bit of a jarring thing to see. But people do. People do at a certain age. It is appropriate to buy a kever, to buy a plot, and if people are still alive. Some would say that's a skula for Rikha Jabin. Certainly it's a skula for, it's often a skula for Shalom Bias among the children if the arrangements are already made in advance. So, but here, the question is, for whom is it reserved? So that's the there's a lot of discussion about that. And Esav thought that he belonged. And Esav's family, Eliphaz's child, shows up and says, it's for me. And the Ramban on page Reish Ayin Hey quotes some of the discussion, and he says that may already be alluded to in that line in Yaakov's instructions where he describes it, Masa Machpelah, and that's where I buried Leah, meaning my family is already in. My wife is there, I'm going to be there. It's not going to be Esav. Okay, so that last line about Leah speaks to the Esav versus Yaakov question, which, so Briskirov had pointed out, the Ramban had pointed out, was already in many ways laid to rest at the end of Vayishlach, the beginning of Vayeshev. Yes, no pun intended, is correct. Very good, very sharp. But the core issue that he's talking about here, that Maris Machpelah was meant not only sort of horizontally for Yaakov rather than for Esav, but also vertically on the family tree, for Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, but not Yosef. Not the following generations. Because Maris Machpelah was bought by Avram for the Avos. And the Avos only. And what's the significance of that? And why is that Rabban is really saying? That's the closing topic of Sefer Bereishis. And in part we see Yosef's not being taken right away back to Eretz Canaan, and not mentioning anything of Maris Machpelah because he's post Avos. That's very much. It's a beautiful way to close Sefer Bereishis because the Avos were the, so to speak, the prehistory. The Avos were the, or I should say, maybe more accurate, not the prehistory, but the first stage in the history of Am Yisrael. They were the ones who were laying the groundwork, and now the next stage is about to begin. Lo Nikra Avos El Shlosha. The Avos is only those three. The Maisa Avosim and Labanim, that level of Nevuah that's happened over in the course of these episodes of Sefer Bereishis are particularly about the Avos, and there's more. And we may have touched on this a couple of weeks ago, that the Gemara comments at the end of, I think, the fourth parak of Psachim, Yaakov Avinu, about this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu gathers his children. He says, "He gather around, hey Asvu, v'agid lachem, eis asher yikre eschem v'achar yisayimim. Let me tell you what's going to happen at the end of days." Then all of a sudden he starts giving brachas. So you could understand that the brachas include references to what's going to be Limos of Mashiach. But the Gemara understands that there's actually a disconnect there. There's a discontinuity. He gathers them to tell them when the case is going to be, when's Mashiach going to come, and then Nistalkei Menu Ruach HaKodesh. He loses that nevuah, and he's aghast. What does this mean? A Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to reveal the nevuah? Maybe there's a psul bech in the Kem, the Gemara says. He says, maybe one of you isn't Jewish. Maybe one of you is no longer mamin. Maybe one of you is not connected to Mila. One of you is intermarrying. One of you is disconnected from Yisrael. They didn't have the full Tariq Mitzvah, certainly not in an obligatory fashion. But in terms of the core of Yadus, he says, maybe one of you disconnected. Rachmal Etzlan. And they said, and he says, maybe Eini Tasi Shlema, my bed is not complete. Maybe not all of my children are going to carry on my Masorah. And they say, no, 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 Shema Yisrael Hashem L'Kein Hashem Echad. Yisrael, I mean their father. We're all in on, we all believe, we all subscribe to your Amuna, to which he responds, and Gemara says, ah, Baruch Hashem. He says a more elaborate, Baruch Hashem Kavod Malchusel Olam Vayim. The Gemara says that's one of the sources for pairing Baruch Hashem with the Shema, is that Yaakov Avinu, that was Yaakov Avinu's response to his sons reciting Shema as an expression of their Amuna. And then the Yaakov realizes, it's true, Nistalka Imenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had taken away that Nevuah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's true HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want him to share it with his sons, not because one of them was puzzled, but for some other reason. With our 2020 hindsight, we might say, now we know that that case was around 3,500 years into the future at the time of Yaakov Avinu. So we can imagine, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it away because the Jews would have known then that the Kates is so far into the future, that would have caused incredible despair. So maybe, we don't know why, maybe that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Yaakov to share. Whatever it is, but it wasn't because, it wasn't because of his fear, but that fear was on his mind all throughout Yaakov's life. That's what Chazal highlights. You see in the Pesukim, the Chazal highlight, there's always this concern of, maybe Eini Tasi Shlema. It's a concern that any father would have for the physical and spiritual well-being of every single one of his children. There was an added layer beyond being a healthy, caring father. There was another cosmic, national layer, which was, as the Rebbe Levi writes in the Kuzri, Yaakov Avinu was supposed to be the pivotal figure who was going to transition the Skula Elokis, the divine spark, from being a one-to-one transmission, which had been that way since Adam all the way to when it gets passed from Yitzhak to Yaakov. Now it's going to pivot into being one to all. And if you have the school of kiss, you naturally pass it on to your family. And family, once you're going to have families with a school of kiss, that's a building block to be able to build an Am Hashem. Up until then, it's just yechidim, just individuals. So Yaakov was the last of the Avos. That's probably part of why he needed to be the one who was going to make that transition. The end of the Avos means the end of individual transmission of school elokis. Now it's going to be to families, and families means we're getting ready to build the Am Skula. So that's Yaakov. And that, again, that was part of the struggle with the brothers. Brothers were worried that Yosef was trying to make that happen, keep that dynamic going for another generation. He'll be the only one. But that was not HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, and Yosef is embracing that here. He may have always embraced it. The brothers were worried he didn't. He says here clearly, no, I'm not one of the Avos. I don't belong to Maris Machpelah. I am post Avos. I'm part of a family of school of kids. Me and all my brothers are together part of Am Hashem. We've moved to stage two. So that's part of the significance in terms of just the arc of the story. The Kavura is not a detail. It is a detail. But the details of the Kavura and the details of how Yaakov describes his Kavura, how the Chumash describes Kavura as Yaakov, and how Yosef describes his own Kavura as being different than Yaakov's, that captures the fact that we're shifting eras. The era of Avos is over, now moving on to the Jewish families, which will become a Jewish nation, a perfect close, a beautiful close, to say for Bereishis. And, in addition, there's another layer. Not only is it, in terms of the Avos themselves, Kishal Atzman, this stage of Jewish history is ending, the next stage is starting, a perfect close to Bereishis, a perfect segue into the Galus of Am Yisrael, which is going to lead to Geula, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, which is the focus of Chumash Shemos. There's also the Maisa of Avosim Lebanim. Let's close with that. Back to opening paragraph of Vayechi. Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim Shavas Reishana. 17 years, last 17 years of his life, he spent in Galus. I think he mentioned a couple weeks ago during Mishmar. Rabbi Shechter quotes in the European Darshanim, but thinking about the three tefillos, the Gemara began in the fourth paragraph of Brachos, how the three avos correspond to the three tefillos in terms of their lives. And Yaakov is an av of nighttime. Yaakov taking Arvis, he was in Galus so much more, so many more times than the other. He went to Golis multiple times, unlike the other of us. And he's the only one who passes away in Golis. The last 17 years of his life. Zok the Ramban. What does this all mean? It was a personal historical episode in the life of Yaakov Avinu. It's also, the next layer, there's also myself a similar one. What does this tell us in terms of the picture, the story of Jewish history? That arc has also been building across Sefer Bereishis, and we're near the end of the arc of Jewish history. So Yaakov Avinu going into Golis Mitzrayim is itself a piece of Jewish history, the beginning of the first national Golis. But in terms of myself as in Lebanon, it's a sin that he says to the last Golis in Jewish history. Yaakov Mitzrayim should go. That Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim was literally the inception of Golis Mitzrayim, but it symbolically corresponded to the beginning of the last Golis, the Roman Golis, the Golis that began with the Roman destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. It talks about the Chaya HaRaviyas, that's because one of the visions of Daniel, at the bottom it's Perek Zion, but the visions of Daniel, he talks about seeing these four menacing creatures. Those correspond to the four Golios. And they're ultimately Mashiach. At the end of that vision, Mashiach comes and ends those menaces. So he says, we're seeing the beginning of Vayechi, the end, the Vayigash, Vayechi, the coming down to Mitzrayim, symbolizes the Golos Edom. Ki b'nei Yaakov, why? What is it? Just because it happens to be at the end? No, obviously we mean that there are a lot of details, and this is what Rabban has been saying throughout, a lot of details the Chumash gives about this section of the life of Yaakov, that those details are also symbolic of what's going to be with us in the Golis that we are in right now. Which, by the way, we'll see how he's going to unpack a number of details, but this might be a little disconcerting because, again, Chumash Bereishis doesn't end on a high note. Chumash Bereishis ends with the death of Yaakov, the death of Yosef. So how does that work symbolically? Let's take a look. Number one, the Golis was driven by us. The other Golios, personal Golios, of course, the Sefer Bereishis. There's a Rav. So he has to leave. Avram has to leave. Yitzhak has to leave. They're forced out. But here, we did it to ourselves. The brothers sold Yosef down to the tribe, and then everyone followed. Yaakov Yerusham Pnei Rav. The Chosha, that's one piece. See, first he's going to sort of sketch some of the key features of the story, and then we'll see the historical significance. Number one, we drove ourselves into gold. Number two, Yaakov Yerusham Pnei Rav. Yaakov goes down because of famine. The Choshev li natzel in b'no b'veis ohev lo. And he thought that he would be safe with his son in the home of his son's patron. Paro loved Yosef. Paro ohevis Yosef. Ukeven lo. And number three, hayu sevurim lalos misham kechalos kechlos harav me'eretz Canaan. They thought that they were coming down briefly. Lagur ba'aretz banu. We mentioned that pasuk in the Leila Seder as well. They said, we're here for a little while. We're just, right now, our flocks will die if we stay in Eretz Canaan. So we're just here until the Rav ends, and we'll be heading back shortly to Eretz Canaan. V'hine lo alu. But point number four, they may have intended to stay briefly, but they did not, in fact. They did. Aruch alav agalos. Umeis sham Yaakovina dies in Gal. V'al atzmosav. His bones are brought back. Vizikne paro visarav heluhu vasrimo evel kavet, and his funeral, the return of the bones of Yaakov to Mitzrayim, is with the a retinue, an accompaniment of Egyptian aristocracy, and there's a profound expression of grief on the part of the Egyptian aristocracy. So what are all those points of the story? What do they mean symbolically? We caused it. In this Golis Adam, we caused it. What do you mean we caused it? He calls to Vrisim a Roman. The Agrippas Hamelach Ha'achor Labai Sheni Baruch Aleim LeEzra. You know, the Jews did not begin the Baruch Sheni period independent. The Jews began the Baruch Sheni period as part of the Persian Empire. We had the friendly authority given to Ezra by Koresh to be the chief rabbi. By imperial writ, Ezra's word was law, and they had the authority, authorized to go back to rebuild the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael, to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They weren't free. They were part of the Persian Empire. Then Alexander conquers, defeats the Persians. They're part of Alexander's empire. That's misgalgel to be the Syrian Greeks. Antiochus. The story of Hanukkah, now they're free. They're sovereign for a couple of generations. It doesn't last too long. As he's saying, the terrible stories of how the Sinas Achim within the later generations of Hashmonaim, they actually, one brother is trying to overpower his other brother and brings the Romans in to help him. We did it to ourselves. And later on, Agrippas, one of the last of the Jewish kings of the Baruch Sheni, he brings the Romans in even further. And then Herod shows up. And he's a largely Roman figure within the Jewish community. So we did it to ourselves. And then, that was step number one. Step number two is Yaakov goes down because of famine. So too. V'pnei Harav, you remember from the Kamsa Bar Kamsa Gemaras in Gittin, Tisha B'Av? V'pnei Harav, Nilkudu Hashem Yerushalayim. We know the whole thing with did us in was there was a Rav cause in Yerushalayim. You may remember it was actually Jews who caused that in Yerushalayim as well. That was part of the Sinas Chinam that drove the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And he said, and we thought that we would be there briefly, but we weren't. So I'll add a point, half a point that he does not make. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi tells us that Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that the Bar Kokhba, the revolt, was Bias HaMashiach. Slightly less than 70 years after the Churban Bayis, in the 130s, Koziva, Bar Kokhba, led a revolt, which was, I think we spoke about a couple weeks ago, militarily, briefly, very, very shockingly successful. He held off the Romans for a couple of years with temporary, remarkable military success. Ultimately, it was put down in an incredibly bloody way by the Romans. And Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion that this was the Bias HaMashiach. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion. And the Rambam, the Yerushalmi presents it as just Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, the Rayan, he discusses the Mashiach, the last two prophets of Hilchos Malachim, he presents it as it was Rabbi Akiva and many, many, many other Tamei Chacham of the time, agreed with Rabbi Akiva, that when Yirmiyahu said, O Shem Mashallah Efkel, 70 years after the Chor Bayis Rishon, the Bin Bayis Sheni, Rabbi Akiva held that was true for the next Galus also. 70 years. He said, look, Bar Kokhba was here. They thought the other Tamilim disagreed, and ultimately we know that they were correct. We thought that it would be short. Yaakov being Yaakov's son thought it would be brief. It was not brief. Year two. We thought it would be 70 years. It's been close to 2,000 at this point. Hagalus Arav Aleinu Ma'od. Lo no da kitzo kishar galus. We in fact do not know. We don't possibly do it. We do not know how long this galus is meant to be. We know there is a ketz, that the Gemara tells us in Seher and Sariches, based on the Psukim in Shayal. We don't know when that ketz is. And now we come to the end of the story of Vayechi. What? Yaakov Avinu passes away and is brought back to Kvura. That sounds very, like a very, very negative way for the story to end. But watch how the Rabban understands it. Because we know from countless places in Tanakh that the story of Olam Hazeh ends on an incredibly positive note. Countless Nevi'im told us that Olam Hazeh will end HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vision, whether we deserve it or not. The end of the story of Olam Hazeh ultimately is a perfected Olam Hazeh. That's what we call Yimos HaMashiach. And part of the Emunah HaMashiach is an Emunah Netzach Yisrael. It means that the Kol Yisrael will survive and thrive to the end of the story of human history, to the end of the story of Olam Hazeh, Yimos HaMashiach. So how does that fit the end of Vayechi? He says, Anachnu bo kemesim. We are. We've been in this galus for centuries. And the Ramban was saying that we feel dead. Klal Yisrael had been out of Eretz Yisrael, disconnected from Eretz Yisrael, disconnected from Beis HaMikdash for so many centuries. We feel like bones. Like in Vayichi, like in Yechezkel. But how does it end? The bones of Yaakov are brought back to Eretz Yisrael with aristocratic accompaniment. Evel kaved by the Sarei Mitzrayim. He says, you know what that means? Yalu osam nikol ha'amim min chal Hashem. V'yilahem evel kaved biru osam kavodenu. The end of the story is that the bones of the dry bones of Jewish people, as Yechezkel describes, will be brought back by the nations of the world. And it's going to be a difficult avelus for them, bir osam kevodenu. And we will ultimately see HaKadosh Baruch Hu right all the wrongs. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us back very soon. And now we have the benefit of a little bit of hindsight the Ramban did not have, because we have begun to see over the last century or so, particularly since 45, when we, Klal Yisrael felt, and the nation of the world saw us as dry bones. It's all over. That's the Holocaust. Dry bones. There's no possibility of anything coming back. The way Yechezkel describes, Atzav is Yevashus. And within 3 years, the nations of the world had begun to bring us back diplomatically to Eretz Yisrael in shocking ways. In shocking ways. And it has been ever since an Evel Kaved already. Just the fact that we're back somewhat has already been, it continues to be, an Evel Kaved for many nations who can't handle it. And that's just the beginning of the Gula Shlema that is unfolding before our eyes. And as Ramban says, Yikimeh v'nichyeh lefanav, may we very soon see HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us back fully, a full Geula, with a full Gila Shechina, with a full Bias HaMashiach, with a Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Yikimeh v'nichyeh lefanav, and the full Evel Kaved on the part of all of the Oivim. And the completion of this story, the end of Vayechi is actually, Ramban points out, the end of Vayechi, in terms of the history of the Avos, captures beautifully the shift, the end of the period of the Avos, and the shift to the post-Avos era, and in terms of telling the story of Jewish history, it looks so negative, but the Kavura of Yaakov, in fact, is the glorious climax of the story of Jewish history. It's the return of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And for Geula Shalema, despite looking as though everything was all over, it's being brought back by the Umos Olam. It's the Evel Kaved of the Umos Olam. It's really something, through looking around at Bereishis through the eyes of Ramban, it's something truly, 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 truly extraordinary.